Welcome to Book by Book, a podcast from independent children's publisher Sambasavan and Purik. I'm your host, Leanne, the publishing coordinator for S&P. On this podcast, we feature bite-sized interviews with people from the world of children's books. This episode is in two parts. During part one, Jonathan and I talk about how indie bookstores choose their books and his take on diversity in the publishing industry, especially in children's literature. Be sure to check out part one in the Book by Book podcast feed. In this episode, part two, Jonathan and I got to talking about censorship of school libraries. He's a full-time English teacher in Ohio, and I wanted to get his take on how book bans are affecting kids in his classroom. In case you haven't listened to episode one yet, my guest is Jonathan Pope, a children's bookseller at Prologue Bookshop in Columbus, Ohio, and a full-time English teacher. He also runs a popular YouTube book talk channel called To Be Black and Loved. I've included Jonathan reintroducing himself, and then we'll get right into the conversation.
Well, my name is Jonathan. I am a full-time high school English teacher here in Columbus, Ohio, and also a part-time children's bookseller at Prologue Bookshop, where I specialize in curating the children's book selection and kind of seeing the trends and what I think that young people should be reading and would like to read.
So, since in addition to working at Prologue, you're also a public school teacher, an English teacher, would you like to comment at all on censorship or the kind of like battleground that school libraries and reading in schools has become? I absolutely don't want to make you have to think about this on your day off. So if you want to talk about it, I would love to hear your thoughts or, you know, advice for parents or publishers. If you
absolutely
have any.
I mean, great. I love talking about this topic.
Oh, great.
It's one of those things where it's absolutely wild what's going on. It's scary what's going on. And I am so lucky to be a teacher at a school where our librarian is very aware. Mm-hmm. And she actively works to make sure that she is bringing in books that the kids that attend our school need to be able to have access to. I have so many students that, you know, they can't always afford to buy a $25 hardcover book.
Right.
You know, they can't get to a bookstore, and so the only access that they have to literature outside of a public library is the school library. Mm-hmm. And I love my school librarian. I think that school librarians are heaven sent. Yeah. And she will bring in any book that I suggest.
That's awesome.
She tries to make sure that she's keeping up with what books are tackling the issues that kids need to read, you know, diverse authors, and she makes sure to make these beautiful displays to make sure that the kids can see these books. And so I can't imagine what my life would be like if I didn't have access to the books that I had access to. If people were actively trying to take books off of shelves with characters that look like me and have life experiences like me, we're heading into a very bleak world. If this is continuing.
The perspective that's left out because they're children of so many of these discussions, or really almost all of these discussions, are the voices of the children. And I'm not saying that like people should, please don't shove microphones in front of children's faces and ask them about this. But since you do, you know, you have your students, you know, do they know what's going on? Do they care that these books are being censored, taken out of schools? Is it something that they're worried about or talk to you about? Can you see kind of the impact of that unraveling?
It's something that I think that at least I have tried to make sure that they're aware of what's going on. Because since at the school that they attend, they're not seeing the books being taken off of the shelves. But I have to make sure that they know that we're just a couple of states away.
Right.
From things like this happening where teachers are literally being forced to pack. Exactly.
Yeah.
Teachers are being forced to pack up their shelves. Mm-hmm. And so I have like my own personal shelf of books in my classroom where I have books by queer authors, where I have books by Black authors, Latino authors, books that are about a variety of different experiences. Mm-hmm. And I tell them this bookshelf would have to be packed up. It would be gone if some people decided that they wanted to actively challenge these books in our district.
Right.
They're always shocked that people really? Would want to wow. take books away.
Yeah.
They're like, why would somebody not want a child to read a book? It's slowly starting to resonate with them. And that's why I always tell them that they need to make sure that they are engaged in what's going on in their local community. They're a few years away from turning 18. They need to be Yay. Engaged in politics. They need to make sure that they're registered to vote when they mm-hmm. when they graduate yeah, right. and turn 18. Because these are the things that are going to deeply affect them, that they need to make sure that they're challenging in their everyday life.
And so it sounds like they care about their books, which, you know, I mean, to me and you, I'm sure we were both very bookish children growing up, but it sounds like, you know, your students care about that bookshelf in their room. You know, I know that these are important inherently, even though I don't work daily with children. I just, for so many reasons, know that it's important that kids have access to books that not only represent themselves, but represent the world. Do you see that in your classroom with their engagement with your books and with your materials?
Yeah, I think a lot of them over the years, they have been so used to not being represented in the books that they've had to read in the classroom.
Oh, sure.
That they have been exposed to, that when I bring in a book with a character on the cover that looks like them, they're like, oh, can I borrow that book?
Really?
Mr. Pope? And I'm like, yeah, just make sure that you bring it back.
Just bring it back. Because yeah, you also can't afford $25 for hardbacks every day. Oh, that makes me feel a lot of different ways, because I've been out here being like, oh, the youth, like they're so much more LGBTQ friendly. They have had TV, the internet, YouTube, so much more diversity in the media that has been available to consume over the last 20 years. And so it's really, that's wonderful that they are so excited when they see a book that represents them and want to read that and engage with that. But it also makes me feel like, oh, man, like some of that progress, I use air quotes for the listeners, that I feel like we should have made over the last 20 years, at least in curriculum, hasn't been made. If you're still getting to high school and feeling like I've only read Catcher in the Rye or whatever, you know, that's a disappointing to hear.
Yeah, people actually have to implement it right. in their classrooms. They actually have to, you know, put it into practice. And,
yeah.
you know, I think that from the out, like a lot of the times from the outside looking in, like people are like, oh, yeah, like we have kids have access to all of these classes and they, you know, there are all these books that are available, but people actually have to put them in the hands of the kids. Like right. so many kids just don't know that these books exist. And so it may be at the top of, especially I would say in like urban public schools, you know, it may be at the top of the New York bestsellers list. There may be a lot of like suburban schools that may have these books, or, you know, the kids that, you know, are dragging their parents into a Barnes and Nobles every single weekend to buy these books. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with Black and Brown children that don't necessarily have like these books at their disposal, you have to have educators, you have to have librarians, you have to have mm-hmm. booksellers that are like actively like, this is a book that I think that you should read. Like wow. I have a display right next to my window where I try to swap out books so that the kids can see them. And I remember it was a copy of All Boys Aren't Blue by George mm-hmm. M. Johnson. That was the number one or number two most challenged book of last year. And it also was a New York Times bestseller. My kids didn't know that that book existed. A student saw it, picked it up, was like, can I borrow this book? Came back, loved it. But it's one of those things where you have to make sure that the kids are being pushed to read, are being pushed to take these books with them. Mm-hmm. So, because they're not just going to automatically just.
No, they're busy and they're tired and they're sad. There's so much going on. That's just a lot. That's an incredible perspective. Before we wrap up, thank you so much for spending so much time talking about this stuff. Is there anything that you wish I would have asked or that you would like to share about your work about the bookstore or anything, you know, to a community of authors, publishers, and readers?
I would just say support indie bookstores. There are so many indie bookstores out there by people that are really offering like great niche content. I've met so many bookstore owners, Black women, queer folks that own bookstores and are really trying to offer a place where people can get the books that they otherwise would not see anywhere else. And we work hard to curate the selections at these stores. I understand that sometimes people want to get a book a little bit cheaper. You know, they want to get that nice 30% discount.
Well, then they can go to the library. They still don't have to go to Amazon.
So like support the stores because we invest back into the community. I will say that what I love about Prologue is we have a relationship with authors. We have a relationship with the community. And Dan, the owner of the bookstore, has always made it a really huge effort to try to make sure that like there are discounts for educators, that there are days where we're like collaborating with other community shops and, you know, doing various things. And bookstores are necessary, I think, to sustain communities. And so support your local indie bookstores and also promote books that you don't necessarily see getting a lot of traction. Help them get out there.
You know, I think a lot of us are like, oh yeah, duh, support indies, Amazon bad, but to hear it's a nexus of the community and you're giving back, and to hear then, you know, you talk about how you curate in your store, you know, you don't get that experience elsewhere. So do you have any other recommendations for diverse children's books, and or what are you currently listening to, you know, music, watching on TV, movies, video games, board games, books that you're listening to, reading right now?
Oh, goodness. I'm currently reading like 5 or 6 different books at the moment. TBR, my currently reading is all over the place. But I am currently reading the second book in the Amari and the Knight Brothers series, Amari and the Great Game, a phenomenal middle grade fantasy book about a young Black girl that is a magician. It's a fantastic series. The author is B.B. Alston.
Amazing. Can you give us the title and the author again?
Yes. Amari and the Great Game by B.B. Alston.
That sounds cool. All right. Great. Well, thank you again, Jonathan, so much for joining me today. This has been great. And it was good to finally talk to you, other than over the counter when I buy too many books.
Yeah, it was great talking to you too. This was great.
Again, I'm your host, Leanne, and I'm the publishing coordinator at Sambasavan and Purick Publishing. And I've been talking with guest Jonathan Pope, a bookseller at Prologue Bookshop and high school English teacher. Don't forget to check out part one of my conversation with Jonathan, where we discuss what indie bookstores look for when purchasing books and the landscape of diverse children's literature. You can find Jonathan on Instagram and Twitter at Be Black, Be Loved, and at his YouTube channel, To Be Black and Loved. You can follow Sambasavan and Purick on Instagram at Sambasavan and Purick, and on their website at www.sambasavanandpurick.com. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for future episodes, or just want to say hi, email me, Leanne, at Leanne, L-E-A-N-N, at modernmarigoldbooks.com. Thanks for listening. Oh, I did. If you have time, how much time do you have? I don't want to keep you literally for forever.
I have plenty of time. Okay. I'm trying to avoid grading papers.
Oh, perfect. Great.